Shotgun interview project for Dr. Buckley's Folklife Research class. Informants are Mr. Kenneth J. Shepherd and his wife, Anne. The date is November 13, 1973. Interview taking place in their living room at 58 Chestnut Street, Cooperstown, New York. Mr. Shepherd, do you want to begin?
It might be something that you could work up something on. You see, it's about 66, which is 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. This is the county courthouse.
The new building up
right
there, yeah. And they had quite a go-around with it. The village had a street, which was known as Court Street, across from Mellistocking Street to Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of it. And there was two houses on it that the county wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And the village board went through quite a time because they didn't want to give up that street and that taxation,
right,
for one thing.
Yeah.
Went round and round with it for quite a while. And in those clippings out of the paper, there's quite a lot about it that we don't know how serious it was, but I guess it was rather serious. They threatened to take the county clerk's office down by the county home, put it down there.
Uh-huh. Out of town.
And then there's other material in there that tells about how, why didn't Oneonta get it? Why didn't they move the county clerk's office
seat
to Oneonta, to seat to Oneonta?
Okay, were you involved in any of these?
He was the mayor.
Well, I was the mayor just about the time they started the building.
Uh-huh. Which was?
In 1967, I
67?
Think.
67?
Yeah.
Right.
And we had a lot of meetings, and they got pretty perturbed. That is, the county representatives and politicians in Oneonta, who always has a little feud with Cooperstown.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
so
jealous,
rivalry.
Maybe not. So we had regular meetings, you know. They'd come to the village board meeting.
Right.
We could get nowhere. And then we decided, well, this isn't getting us anywhere except arguments. So we got together and had just a little dinner up at Hickory Grove Inn.
Who's
building
we?
Committee and a couple of us that were on the board. Just two of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was two. Or three. I guess there were three. Three of us. And we talked the thing over, and it had begun to resolve itself a little. Then we got back to the village board. The village board didn't know we were having these meetings at all. the mayor at that time didn't.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of expected a little fire then, because he was one that was pretty much against this losing Court Street and these two properties. Yeah.
So who was that then?
Will we mention names in this?
You may. If you
just
want to.
As soon not.
Okay, if you don't want to, that's fine too.
Just as soon not. And but he was very nice. He was very good about it. He just reversed his idea entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote a letter to the county that they could have Court Street with certain conditions, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ironed out. But it was quite a go around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. You could make a nice little story out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's only, I say, about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really history yet.
Sure it is. Have you been involved in politics in Cooperstown other than the mayor?
Well, I was on the board
stuff
for about
9 years.
Nine years.
Prior to
mayor
that?
For 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you grew up right here in Cooperstown?
Yeah, I was born up in Firestown. You know
miles.
Where Firestown is? 4 miles up here?
Oh, well, not
the Lake
quite
Road.
Uh-huh.
And the second left, the road that goes straight up to the Skeeto.
It's about
that road. Okay.
It's about
that,
that
road,
one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
He's...
Well, were you born on a farm there?
Yeah. Yeah. But I was just about... I was only about 12 years old when I left the farm, went to Oneonta.
Yeah. When was that you were born?
1908.
Uh-huh.
1908.
Okay.
And,
but the first Cooper... Shepherd that was born in Cooperstown, that he's the ancestors, was born in 1799. We have the genealogy book.
Oh, you do? Is it a family Bible or something?
Family, so yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's really interesting because this first shepherd that came here, the first land bought from Mr. Cooper. And Mr. Cooper, Paul Cooper, I knew him before he died, and I know his wife. He invited me to see his library, and he had the deed from the shepherd's family.
For their farm.
For the land that they bought from the Coopers.
Was this farm that you grew up on?
Not that particular,
farm?
No.
No.
See, from generation to generation, they kept buying.
In the same area.
In the same area, but not the same farm.
Just another road. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who was your father then?
My father, Jess.
Jess
Shepherd. Yeah. Yeah, and as I say, we went to Oneonta when I was about 12, so I was gone from 12, I was 12 years old.
You were older than that, weren't you? Because Marion was 16, you were only a year.
Well, maybe I was 15 at that, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I didn't come back until, I was out in here, and I was in Binghamton for 10 years.
What did you do in Binghamton?
I worked for a concern that sold barley equipment and everything. And then I came back and opened this Western Auto store. There wasn't any Western Auto here at that time.
You owned the Western Auto on Main Street.
Yeah, we still owned the building.
Uh-huh. And somebody else runs the store.
I ran the bit for 32 years.
32.
The fellow that bought it, he's a Cooperstown fellow, but he used to work for Ken when he was in high school.
Part-time help, you know?
Yeah. And he stuck with it, huh?
Yeah.
He's
an engineer or something.
And that sort of thing, he came in the store one day and I don't know, I was complaining, you know, it's hard, a small business, hard to run that with all the controls and all that, moaning a little bit about it. I just kidding him and said, why don't you buy me out, Bill? From then on. Well, I already had another fellow interested, so Bill came in second. But the other fellow finally, they did the Western Auto, of course they have it, it's a franchise, so they have a little say on who buys.
Uh-huh.
They didn't approve the first fellow, so that put Bill in first place, and he bought it. Bill's a nice boy.
When did you first open the Western Auto Store?
1939.
Yeah. Our daughter was just a baby. That's the daughter over there in that picture.
Uh-huh.
She was 16 in that picture.
But that's, you don't want to know about us, you want to know more about Cooperstown,
How about when the sewers, they're not the sewers, but the...
Sewer plant? There's a lot of that material in there, of course.
Yeah, he had a lot to do with that, because when he was a mayor, or you want him to talk, or... Javits, and Robert Kennedy had a meeting in Washington of all the small towns mayors from New York State.
Right.
And so we went to that, and I went with them. And it was really quite nice because 300 men and was 8 women, and I was one of them. And it was really, that was very exciting because it was in Washington in one of the government buildings, and they had these meetings. And Ken, there was an airport, he used to be an airport here, it isn't any longer here. But anyway, the village.
There was an airport in Cooperstown?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
That's something to do with.
Well, then she can look at it later.
Well, she might want to take a look at that heading.
This is a newspaper article.
Yeah.
What newspaper is this from?
I think that probably was Binghamton.
Binghamton?
Yeah, Binghamton.
Endicott. Cooperstown poor? We're all in trouble.
Here's another one.
Now, what are these articles all about then?
It's
this
about
is when we were applying for money for this.
Yeah, well, that's
tour
what this.
And got some Appalachia. Help from Appalachia.
That's why this meeting in Washington was about, you see.
You know, Appalachia is really poor.
And they say, Cooperstown poured all these millionaires in.
How in the world did you ever get money out of Appalachia Fund?
Wasn't Cooperstown a summer resort for that were really wealthy?
Yeah.
No, I know there's
lots of very, very wealthy people here. Yeah. Well, anyway, when we were in Washington, Ken had to, he was supposed to find out something about this airport because that that has something to do with the government. You know, you have to have a permission.
Well, there was a fellow who still owned the airport, wanted to sell the airport to the village.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted a fantastic price, and part of the land was leased. It wasn't owned by him. He had done a lot of work. He'd done a lot of work there, bulldozing and all this, and did a lot of it himself. Of course, he was charging the top price for his labor on trying to get the whole thing out. And it was just too much. And we on the board didn't feel that we could stand that sort of thing, but it warranted it. Although an airport would be nice, but... So we had quite a go around with that, but...
That's when we went down. Well, in Washington, so Bobby Kennedy, Ken asked him who he should see about this airport so he could find out some information. So Bobby Kennedy said, well, I don't know the man, but I'll find out, and you'll be here at 2 o'clock at this particular spot, and this man will be here. And we thought, well, he doesn't know the man, and you know, he doesn't know us. So we thought, that'd probably be the end. But by golly, that 2 o'clock, that man was there to see Ken about it, to explain to him about the business of airport. And that was the most interesting meeting there in Washington. I guess there was only one of its kind. They never had it again.
A small town mayor.
Mm-hmm. And then they had a cocktail party, the Bobby Kennedy and Javits. And so we had a great visit. Very important, because I had about 10-minute visit with Bobby Kennedy, and he signed a picture for us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and Mr. Vice President Humphrey was there, and I talked with Vice President Humphrey, and really it was a very, very informal, and everybody just talked, and that's when they... Ken got acquainted with Bobby Kennedy, and he called him on the phone 2-3 times about that sewer project, because you see they had to have a lot of money for that.
A lot of money, mm-hmm. and a lot of
involved.
Money.
So we got it before any other town.
Where is this sewer project?
It's beyond the high school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a side
building,
road. It's a beautiful
place. You can see it from the high school, in back of the high school. It turned down in by the electric light office.
Okay.
Nice
and,
mm-hmm.
and between Bobby Kennedy and Sam Stratton, you don't know Sam Stratton, but he was our senator.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of letters from him.
And he became a friend of ours by meeting our daughter in Spain and sort of all the way around. So they're very good friends of ours. So between Sam Stratton and Bobby Kennedy, we actually got that sewer in town, because... so many towns afterwards, they say, how in the world did you ever get it?
I don't mean that, you know, I didn't do it.
No.
Were there problems with sewage treatment here before that?
Yeah.
No, every town has the same problem.
Every town has it. In fact, we were ahead of many villages which were actually forced into it. We were needing it badly,
mm-hmm.
and would have been forced later on. And by building... As quickly as we did, we did it a lot cheaper than...
We got the money before...
Then you do it. Every year it was going up.
Right.
So, but... here's a telegram.
When you were younger then and living just outside of Cooperstown on the farm, did you do farm tours and things like that?
A little bit.
Was your father a farmer?
My father was a farmer, yeah.
What kind of farmer was he?
Dairy farmer.
A dairy farmer?
Yeah.
And he raised potatoes to pay for his violin lessons.
Oh.
He used to have an orchestra when he was young, when he was in high school and after got out of high school.
And that.
That's something about...
Oh, so here's a telegram from Robbie Kennedy, huh?
Yeah.
He was the most charming person you ever met.
Uh-huh.
He really was.
And here's several clips in Cooperstown, stay out of Otsego County. To stay Otsego County seat. This is after the feud was settled.
Well, there's lots of other issues.
Maybe I should look at these after we're finished with all this talking here.
Yeah, that's why I thought we better.
Okay.
I sort of thought it would be a good idea to keep the scrapbook on all his activities while he was a mayor, because there was a lot of happening at that time in town. It's sort of a quiet down now because they were building the hospital, and they were
building
the new addition.
So there was an awful lot going on, and a lot of arguments, and a lot of, you know.
When was the high school built? Was that built during that time? Or?
No.
About 68.
Not the high school.
Oh, the high school. I beg your pardon.
No, high school. A high school had been only about 4 years, 5 years.
I guess five years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the elementary school was built a little earlier.
You know where the other high school was, where
the new apartments. They tore it down.
Yeah.
Do you remember that high school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our daughter graduated from there.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah.
When did they, did they just tear that down?
Oh, yeah, about 5 years ago. Just about 5 years ago. Maybe four.
More than that.
I don't think so, Ken. I don't think so.
Well, that's not long ago.
Did you go to that high school, Mr.
Yeah,
Shepherd?
His sister graduated from here, but then they went to Oneonta, so he didn't
graduate
from here.
Well, did you go to elementary school in Cooperstown then?
No, I went to the country school.
Oh, what was that like?
One room country school. Oh, that was really, that's really a joy.
Where was that?
Well, it was right...
Is the building still there?
No, I think it burned down the way I've forgotten. You know where it used to be, but it isn't there anymore.
Uh-huh.
The last I knew, there was a beehive there. That's all.
Where would that schoolhouse have been, then?
Well, it was just down the foot of a small hill below where my homestead was. I could
as far from his house as from our house to maybe...
Main Street.
Oh, not even that far.
58 Chapman Street
Maybe
to Main
Victory,
Street?
Like Victory.
Or to Victory Market.
Yeah, something more like that. No.
Oh, you didn't have very far to walk to
school at all.
Yeah.
Oh, that was quite a country school.
How is that different from today, that country school?
Country schools are, well, a lot different. But I still think you got a pretty good education in the country school.
How many kids were in your class?
Oh, well, it was all one school, and I don't know if I can tell you that.
You see, they didn't have classes. They just have... This one was in the first grade, that one was in the second, but they all in the same room.
One teacher would teach
all the subjects.
All the kids.
Uh-huh. Did you have a woman for your teacher?
All women, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember if men. Yeah,
no
women.
Male?
In fact, a couple of the teachers used to board with us because we were so close to the school.
Right.
With my family.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I didn't think about it. Yeah, and we used to have a great time. Halloween, you mentioned Halloween.
Yeah, that's for a different questionnaire.
Oh, is it?
It's a different tape.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, our country schools weren't that bad.
No. Did you go to school the same amount of hours as children go to school today?
Yeah, just about.
Did you have to go real early in the morning, or did you have chores to do before you went to school?
Well, I was janitor of the schoolhouse, too.
You were?
Oh, yeah. I built a fire.
Did you have an old iron stove or something?
Yeah, an old iron stove, yeah.
Where was that? In the middle of the...
Practically in the middle of the school.
Yeah.
I can tell you a story about that.
Oh, sure.
First, the school teachers in those days didn't mess around with you. You got out of line, you stayed after school, and they had a rubber hose about this long. No kidding. They'd take you by one hand, take you by the left hand, bang, 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 you go around like this. We had this... one fellow who was a big fellow, and he got into trouble somehow and kept him after school. She's going around and around to him, and they both lost their balance and tipped over the stove. Everything stopped. We had to put out the fire, set up the stove again.
Oh my goodness.
That's a little bit unusual, I'm sure. It did happen.
And he said one time...
The potbelly stove, you know.
Is that what it was?
They tip over pretty easy.
One time in the summertime, I guess, before the school was out, the teacher kept the hose in the drawer, and one of the fellows took a snake and put a snake in place of it.
Instead of the hose. Was this just a regular garden hose type of hose?
Yeah, a piece of a garden hose.
That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And it smarted when you got
it
hit
sure
with it. No willow sticks, but garden hoses. Right. Was this an old frame schoolhouse? Was it a wooden one?
There were a lot of them. As a matter of fact, one is, you know where Dr. Powers lived?
Mm-mm.
No. On the Lake Road, before you get, you know, where a cook's antique shop on the right. It's just before you get there on the left.
Stone
side.
House.
No, mm-hmm. not the stone house. No, it's a wooden. That's a wooden. That's
on
another
left.
Left. Just before, like the cook's place is here,
right.
and they were just sort of a kitty corner. Well, that was a schoolhouse. That was.
Oh, that
a,
was.
That
was known as the Brookwood School.
Yeah.
Brookwood School.
And
mm-hmm.
see, his school was just over the hill, just a little bit.
There were a lot
across.
Of schools around here.
Oh, there were a lot. As a matter of fact, Fly Creek School, which was country school, that closed not too awfully many years ago, you know, and they brought the children.
That's now a furniture store.
In
Fly
Creek.
That was a much bigger school.
Yeah, that was cool because they were in a little tiny, you know, hamlet.
In the village.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Besides, did they just have this one school where the apartments are here then in the village of Cooperstown? And that was grades 1 through 12?
Yeah.
You see, they
for village kids.
Mm-hmm.
They centralized that school. When our daughter was 4 years old, and in order to have to centralize so they would have enough children, they had to have kindergartens, and they didn't have enough children for kindergarten because, you know, people from the country didn't send their children. So I know they asked us to send our daughter when she was 4 years old to kindergarten, which now they wouldn't accept them. So she actually graduated very young because, you see, they got these children so young.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 35.
So then when she was 4?
When she was 4, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the school, and in those days, like I had a girl to help me with my daughter when she was little. She was a farm girl, and she was 13 when she came to high school. So they had to come and work for somebody in order to be able to go to school.
They had to live in the village.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they had to live. Otherwise, they couldn't go to high school because they had to be a village. People
right.
in the village.
So would they work for someone after
school
or
yeah, they
weekend?
Would work. They would work. Maybe it was this girl lived.
No,
with
just anything, babysit
or
housework a little.
Yeah,
just
they
to be a resident of the village. That's
uh-huh.
all.
Yeah, and many people had these farm girls working for them because, and some people didn't pay them hardly anything. Maybe like a dollar a week or something like that. And these girls really would work real hard. The girl that was with us, her name was Sophie Clappy, and she's a very, very good friend of ours, and she was just a wonderful, wonderful girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was very pretty and very, very nice. And we just treated her like a family, and she went to, she became a nurse, as a matter of fact. She's in Towson,
Maryland.
Oh, that's close to where I live.
And you know the hospital Shepherd and something else? In Towson, there's the hospital Shepherd, and
mm-hmm.
there's two names, but one, it's a sort of psychiatric, I think.
No, I'm not familiar with
you're
the
not
hospital.
Well, she's in that hospital. She's doing in the research work. She, as a matter of fact, she wrote some papers on it, and she's a very, very bright girl. And that's how these people from the farm, you know, they couldn't go to high school unless they had to come to town. But then when they centralized it, then they start having
school buses.
They didn't have as many, but they
yeah.
that the children could attend the high school. But wasn't that too bad that they didn't have an opportunity until then, because there was no high school in the country. They were just villages that had high school.
Did the boys do that too? Come and
yeah,
with the
they
family?
Would have to do the same thing. Of course, sometimes it was better for boys because maybe like they would drive a car or they're, you know, maybe they would do some chores and come to town and for somebody, but the girls, it was much harder for girls
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Boy,
there's a lot of changes.
If you were around when the country schools were still in business, you must have been around where other things were still going on that aren't here today.
Oh, I guess so.
What
there's
else?
A lot of changes.
What else has changed? What did Chestnut Street look like?
The street hasn't changed
too much. Well, the street hasn't changed, but of course, when we came here, the trolley tracks were there.
Yeah, well, they're still in the ground.
Tell me all about that. I'm interested in that trolley.
Yeah.
Well, the trolley used to come in from Hartwick, and then it would tie up, go from there to
Utica
area.
To Utica.
I just can't remember exactly where. There's a big power plant over at Hartwick.
Right.
Where they repaired cars and everything.
electric trolley?
Yeah. And that used to come over. In fact, down at Index, down below town here.
There's...
Well, there are no tracks anymore.
There's a bridge, though, I think. Or the remains of it near
it
the
It could be.
There
are some
the
places
yeah,
I remain.
So, yeah.
But you used
yeah.
to go to Mohawk and Ilion and to Utica. It was quite a long run for a trolley.
I never actually rode the thing. I don't think I
did. I did. The first time I came to Cooperstown, I came on a trolley.
When was that?
In 1931.
1931?
Yeah.
You rode on a trolley
and car? I came on a trolley car, and... Well, it was just quite a trip because, you know, I came from Utica and to Cooperstown, and there were a lot of people on a trolley car. It was just, I mean, it was the way of life.
Is that the way to get to Cooperstown?
That's the way to get to Cooperstown. Of course, there was a train, but the train didn't come from that direction. See, trolley car came from that direction, and the train
came
from Oneonta.
Area.
Right.
So if you want to come from Utica, you had to come on a trolley car.
The other way to get a train out of Cooperstown, the only other way was at Fort Plain.
Yeah.
Which is about 30 miles from here.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get transportation from here to there. And there used to be a lot of people go over there and take the train for, that was New York Central, I guess. He was in, I suppose.
Right.
His father said that when he was young, and they used to raise hops. You know,
oh,
for
he
the beer.
Was foreman of the hop yard, started with part-time.
Oh,
know,
your father
season,
was,
yeah.
For the Bushes family, you know, the Bushes. As a matter of fact, you just missed her because his daughter was just here.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, and boy, she's a very delightful person. But anyway, his father said that, now, for instance, they would get, in the summertime, to pick hops, they would get people come, like, from Binghamton. There'd be people go on a vacation, like maybe his mother was a telephone operator in Binghamton, and she came as a vacation
to
pick hops, and she met his father, and that's how they got
they
married.
They met picking hops.
Yeah.
See, he was the boss of the thing, and
yeah.
she came, and yeah. so the people used to come from the cities and pick hops.
Was picking hops very hard work?
No, it was just like picking flowers.
It was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Was,
and I mean,
people came for a vacation.
For a vacation.
And picked hops.
Yeah.
And during the war, the same thing happened,
big
too.
Big time, you know. They were having parties at night. They have a real time. Sometimes they got a little rough. I've heard my dad talk about it. Some of them got a little rough.
What kind of parties did they have?
Well,
in the barns and things?
I suppose they had dances in the range halls, you know. They used to have real good times, people.
It was a real ball farm.
Father ever have any songs he sang or anything connected with the hop?
Not that I know.
Not that you know.
He wasn't a very good
musician, but
his mother was a very good musician, though. She was a wonderful pianist.
Some of them would get a little bit oiled up and they kind of get out of hand a little bit. Those things have a great time. But to get back to the trolley, yeah, it came down Chestnut Street.
Right.
And came down and the trolley station was where the barber shop is on Main Street. They used
next
to
Lippitt's.
Yeah.
Right.
Used to make a swing around and cut on the right hand side of the street, and that was the trolley station.
And then from there, where did it go?
Back.
Then it turned around.
Yeah.
How did it turn?
This was a dead end here.
How did it turn around?
Well, it didn't. Just went the other way.
It just turned around. Oh.
Just back.
And just back up. It didn't have a front or back.
I guess they used to that thing that. You know, that against
the
wire,
mm-hmm.
they just turned that thing around and then
they just reversed the current.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did they pave over the tracks?
They took up the tracks
during the war.
During the war for the scrap drive that came.
World War II?
World War.
Yeah. Pulled up the rails. And they made a big mistake when they did that. The religion, I'm sure other places had the same problem. But of course, it was to get the iron out as quickly as possible and not much work, I just pulled up the rails.
Right.
Now the big problem with Chestnut Street, if you know how rough it is
it's
the
really
ties
rough.
Are still in there.
They are? Is that what makes it so bumpy?
They're still in there and they're rotting away.
And so they're pockets.
Yeah.
And they've got that, it's been in the talking stage for a long time, but it'll happen someday. That this street will have to be all torn up and those ties taken
I keep
out.
Asking him, why don't they pave me? He said they can't do anything until they get those.
There's
no
sense to putting a paving like they did Main Street onto this, because we do the same thing until we get those ties out. And that's a big job.
Oh, that's a huge project.
That's a job. Yeah.
Well, that slows the traffic down anyhow when
well,
it comes into town.
That's
the
point there, yeah.
That's true. I wondered why that road was so bumpy.
Yeah,
you want to know anything about some particular person in town that did a lot of good to town or anything?
Sure, you know Benny?
Yeah.
She knows
okay.
Mrs. Stephen Clark, she's dead, she's been dead about 6 years now.
Right.
She was a fairly, she was the most beautiful, beautiful woman that you could ever imagine. She had most beautiful blue eyes and she was just lovely. And of course she had loads and loads of money. But she was so kind. If she ever heard of anybody that was in need or something happened to them, she immediately was there to help them. She just was very kind. There was a minister on the corner here that had, he was a Methodist minister,
right up here.
And they had five boys and a girl. And one of the boys had something the matter with his hip, so she sent him to New York to have an operation for his hip, and she bought their name was Stone. She bought Mrs. Stone a fur coat because it was very cold in New York, and she bought him a television
she
later on.
She came down
on.
The store and ordered a television.
Yeah, and she used to, our daughter was a very great swimmer here, and because you see we have the gym that the kids can go all winter long, and she started when she was about 2 years old. So she used to go, and Mrs. Clark used to have, she had a most beautiful garden. It's all gone now because
over
the sun.
Over on River Street.
By the hospital there,
okay.
On River Street.
Yeah.
And she had this gorgeous, gorgeous garden with a swimming pool, and she had these town children that were interested in swimming come there and swim, and then once in the summertime she would have a party for the children, and then she would invite all the parents, and she would bring all the food from New York, send it by the truck.
Was
this catered food, a big
big truck would come in, and it was
beautiful
food. With
stone walls and walkways.
I had some moving
everything.
Pictures of those parties, but I gave it to my daughter because she was in it.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just, she really was the most, most kind person that ever lived. And she died about 6 years ago.
Of course, Stephen Clark Jr., her
now.
Son,
he's
is the one that's here now.
Right.
Yeah, this he
yeah.
was, yeah.
And he does, they do a lot of good, the Clarks, and a lot of people think that they run the town and all this. They really don't.
No, they...
But of course, it's got to be said that the town does cater to them a little bit. Why wouldn't you with the things they do for them? They bought the street lights for the village.
Did
Street.
They?
Yeah.
The village
lovely.
Put them up, but they bought the lights. And they, the new aerial truck of the fire department, which is a huge thing with the big crane in the firemen, on their drive, money drive that they have every year, they
right.
they and the village came up with $35,000, and the Clarks put in, and it cost about $70,000, and the Clarks paid for the other half of it.
And of course, you know the hospital. Of course, that's run by Clarks. That's Scriven Foundation. But they have, and now, for instance, I've been going to Dr. Farrell. He's an eye doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he wanted to examine my eyes. I don't know if he thought he saw something in the back of my eye that he wanted to keep watch of it. And he said, we have a new machine that's coming. He said, of course, he said, what's nice about being here, he said that if everything, the newest comes out, they buy. Like this machine, he said, I could never afford if I was in business for myself because it cost about $75,000. So you see, anything new, the hospital gets it because
right.
they have tremendous amount
they'll
of money.
They'll subsidize it.
Yeah, all they do every year.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, the baseball museum was started by this Clark's father,
yeah,
Stephen Sr.
Well, how about the man who had all the carriages?
That's Ambrose Clark.
That's a
you
brother.
That's
a brother.
Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. He died
yeah.
not too many years ago. His widow lives in Bowerstown.
Uh-huh.
You know the place.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one with the little reindeer out.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he died maybe 10 years ago.
I guess probably about that.
Were you around when he used to go driving out?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Carriages?
We used to see him all the time, sure.
He was a great old guy. He was very stooped in his his later years,
sort of
I
a
guess
heavy
maybe
man.
He was quite heavy, mm-hmm. very much so. And he was more, I'd say, more reserved than Stephen Sr., maybe.
Oh, I know.
He
they're different,
didn't
I guess.
Do was, well, I and shouldn't say he didn't do much with town. I'm sure he did, because he hired a lot of help for him. But he wasn't as doing as much as Stephen Sr.
Right.
He was
they
a
nice had,
old fellow.
They had another brother. What was his name? Ambrose? Oh, no, that was Ambrose. Robin. And he opened up a museum, you probably have been there, in Williamstown?
No, I haven't. Which museum is
well,
that?
Well, he's the one that lived up where the historical is, isn't it?
No, that's Edward.
Edward.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Edward was a cripple.
Uh-huh.
Back as far as
he died many years ago when I first came to town, so he's been dead for over 30 years. He was a bachelor, but the others were all married. But none of them had any children except Stephen. He had four children. He had three sons and a daughter. And I remember when the daughter was getting married during the Second War, and her husband, you probably read about him, Labouisse. He was the head of the Bank of the
Bank
World.
Of America.
No,
World Bank.
World Bank.
Mm-hmm.
She was married to him, and I remember I did all the bridesmaids' hair.
Oh, you did their hair?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Really?
And her mother-in-law, Mrs. Labouisse, she was from France, they were French. And
well, that must have been a big occasion.
Oh, yes, and I went to the wedding.
Oh, you did?
It was beautiful.
Oh,
and
tell me about that.
Oh, the wedding was beautiful. It was in an Episcopal church.
Uh-huh.
And the bridesmaids were white, sort of a fluffy, like a chiffon dresses, long dresses, and big picture hats with the blue ribbons hanging down, and they had a blue sash tied around them, and they carried blue delphiniums, sort of a long blue delphiniums, and they just looked beautiful.
Where did you go to the reception?
No, I didn't
that?
Go to the reception. I just went to the church.
You went to the church?
To the church, yeah.
I'll bet she had a bunch of bridesmaids.
Not too many. I think she only had something like four or so. And it was
that's
a very
a good
interesting
number.
and it was interesting because about a year or so ago, this woman came in and she looked so familiar to me. And I don't know, we got to talking about what she was doing here. And she said, well, I'm visiting here. She said, I haven't been here in years. She said, I haven't been here since Betsy Clark got married. She said, I was one of her bridesmaids. And then I said, well, I must have done your hair. And she said, well, she remembered, you know, but she didn't remember me, but she remembered that she had her hair done there. But then this Betsy Clark, she had a daughter, our daughter's age, and she died, which was very, very sad because she was so young. Her little girl was only 6 years old when she died. And Mr. Labouisse never remarried. The daughter's name was Anne, and he never married till, maybe 15 years later, and he married Madame Curie's daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And she was here one time.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, she came in here, and we just had the greatest visit because
she came to see you?
Well, she came to have her hair done.
Uh-huh.
See, Mrs. Clark's Junior here, Steve's wife, is a customer of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and of course she was her sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And so she came in and we just had the greatest visit and because she taught Polish to me and then she met my daughter. My daughter was in college then and she met my daughter and she said, my daughter looked so much like her cousin in Poland because she still has some relatives in Poland
uh-huh.
that she occasionally goes to see. And she was the most interesting person to talk to. Her name is Eva.
Eva?
Mm-hmm.
When did you come from Poland then?
I was about 14 years old when I came here from Poland.
And what was your name?
Mieszkowski.
Mieszkowski?
Yeah.
And did your father come then?
No, my father came to this country, I guess many, he came about four different times because my mother wouldn't come here. She was afraid of water. She just couldn't stand water.
She wouldn't come across
the ocean. She said she couldn't even ride across in a canoe. So she said she probably could have. So my brother came, my father came, and he brought four, no, three of the children.
Where did he first come to?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. That was probably before I was born.
Right.
And
first
then he,
was he
I
married to your mother then?
Yeah, because, my family, they had eight children. And my oldest brother has an older daughter than I am.
Okay.
So you see, there was an awful lot of difference.
Yeah.
So when he came to this country, he brought three children with him, my two brothers, oldest brothers, and they're both dead now, and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was one of the younger ones, so I never came till after the World War I, because, see, I was little then, and my other brothers and the sister were
So you were
married.
In Poland during World War I?
Yes,
right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was little then, and then there were four of us sisters there.
Do you remember World War I?
Oh, well, a little. I remember a little. I remember that we had to move from Poland to Russia, and all I remember that we had to go like people in this country used to go in the covered wagons, and we had a wagon. And we had to go in that. And I remember one time a plane being shut down. I remember seeing planes going in the plane.
Remember, how old were you then? When you moved to Russia, do you think?
Oh, maybe 5 or 6.
How did you feel about the... Did you know there was a war?
Oh, yeah, we knew there was a war, but, you know, a youngster that age, we heard the shots. And
did you understand what was going on?
Well, probably at the time. So long ago, you kind of don't remember.
No.
Right now. But so we went to Russia, and they... we went, and of course, everybody was moving from all over, from all different countries, you know, but we went to Russia, and they put us in a school where they sort of organized schools for children so they didn't, you know, lose out on their education. So the four of us sisters were in school,
mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember, just then after the war, I came to Poland.
Did your mother come then?
No, my mother didn't.
She
I came
stayed
to
in Russia.
I stayed there. I had a brother in Poland that he was in the service in the army.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Poland with another family, and my other sisters and my mother were supposed to follow, because you see, you couldn't go all at once. I mean, there was just you go the best way you could, because people were just trying to get back home.
Okay. How old were you when you came back to Poland?
I don't remember. Because that was, let me see, how many years was the war? Must have been about 3 years.
Can't
let me see,
that.
You were still just a young child.
Maybe
7 or 8
or
so.
9 or something
okay.
like that. And then we, so I came to Poland, and I came to Warsaw with this family. He was in the service, this man, and the woman had two children, so I was with them. And then my sisters and my mother couldn't come. They you know, the trains and everything, there were so many people trying to get back to their own countries that they just couldn't get back. So, and my two sisters were old enough, so while they were in Russia, they went to school to Kiev, to a training school, and they were both teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed in Warsaw, I think, until I was 14, and then my sister in this country brought me there, because you see, my mother died.
Well, here.
Yeah.
She died while she was in Russia.
Yeah,
still.
She died. And my two sisters, and my one sister died in Russia, but my other sister came to Poland, and during the Second World War, she was a teacher in this village. She had three little girls, and I don't know what her husband did, but Germans came to this village, and they took all the women from the village, and they never saw them again. They killed them all. And she left these three little tiny girls.
That was during World War II.
But of course I was here. So we never heard from, I didn't know that she was killed.
Did you hear from the children?
Yeah, the two daughters are still living there, and I hear from them.
They're in Warsaw.
No, they aren't in Warsaw, because they took them to Germany.
They took
the children to Germany. and they took the father somewhere else.
Why did they do that?
Well, they did it when with many people. They just took them in a concert. Well, I imagine that she probably went in the same place where they were killing all, gassing all these people. That's why.
Yeah.
And so after the war, the children, one of the children died. She got TB or something and died. But the other two girls went back to Poland, and somehow they found their father through the Red Cross, I guess.
Right.
And so they still live in Poland, but they don't live in Warsaw. They live in other cities.
Okay. Now tell me about after you got over here, when you came to the United States.
Yeah.
Where did you first come?
In Connecticut. And
you
then,
came?
Yeah. And then I came to Utica and I went to beauty school.
Right. Did you live with your sister then?
For a while, yeah. Uh-huh. I lived for a while. And then I came to Utica and I went to school here to take the hairdressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in Utica for in a department store for a while. And then I came to Cooperstown to work as a beautician, and I met him, and we were married, and that's the end of the story.
Okay, wait, I have some more questions about that. Why did you come to Cooperstown?
Because I had a customer that used to come to Utica to have her hair done.
Uh-huh.
And her